Okay. I have a phone. Boom. Whoa. It's like magic. How many people here are here for the first time this year? This is your first year at camp. Some of you, all right, how many of you have been here before? Okay, so we got a good many return. Most of your faces are new to me this year, but it could be my eyes are getting old too. I have been, if this camp has been around for 40 years, I was 6 years old the first time I came here. I have grown up around this camp. My life, just like Jason was talking, has absolutely been impacted by this youth camp in more than one way, not just in the encounter of the Holy Spirit and the encounter of Jesus, but I also met my wife at this camp. So, you know, look around, you know, the future Mr. or Mrs. might be here tonight. I always had an eye out every time I came to camp, just going to be honest. I was young, I was looking, and buddy, my eyes caught a little girl, or we were young then. My eyes caught a girl when I was 13. She was 11, I think, the first year. I was 13. It's only 2 years difference. It's not that big a deal. She said she was 13 to be here as well. So, we were camp boyfriend and girlfriend for the whole week that we were here until the last night she broke up with me because she heard I was going to try to kiss her at the campfire. But she kept coming back, and I kept pursuing, and we would see each other from time to time. And then about, 15 years ago now, 16 years, we have been married for 16 years now, have two wonderful children, and we laugh and have an incredible time together. So, sometimes we downplay camp romances, but you know what? I think it's not a thing to be downplayed. Finding yourself a good mate, you know, that's going to serve the Lord with you, that understands the encounter that you have here this week. Those things are priceless. They're talking about friendships, even my friendships. We were friends for a long time before we were ever back together as girlfriend and boyfriend. Her brother Clinton is one of my closest friends. We played in bands together and would come and see each other and stuff. And so the friendships that you have, I have friends that, that have been lifelong friends that I have met in this youth camp that, you know, we still talk regularly. And it really is the connector. It really is the experience that we had here at these altars and at these this atmosphere of playing volleyball and the different things that would happen throughout the week have just these are important times, whether you realize it right now or not. What happens this week is going to absolutely affect your life in so many ways, and I am probably one of the reasons why I am who I am today is because of the encounters and the things that happened in this building. When I started, it was not in this building. We were actually back there where the girls' dorm is, was actually the sanctuary. And that's really where, my encounters with the Holy Spirit happened and things like that. So it was a smaller building. We were packed in there. There wasn't a lot of air conditioning even. It was hot, and we would dance and pray until we were dripping with sweat. And then, boys at that time were not real hygienic. So then we would go to the dorm, and it would smell the high heaven. And back then, we were a little bit, too, we were a little bit pranksters and stuff back then as well. We were not as refined and behaved as you guys are today. But But there was some shenanigans that happened back then, and just some fun. Like I said, it's just memories of a lifetime that I've had in these camps and different people. Even as I have grown up and become counselors, and I've been doing the Bible study for a couple years. The friendships, even making with the campers and things throughout the years, and seeing how their lives, you know, those that have come to camp and now have gone on in their life and gone on to colleges and stuff like that, and seeing how the impact it's had. You don't realize, what is going to happen this week. Let me just start with a scripture. I'm going to start with a scripture. I preached one time, and I never opened a scripture, and this lady got really upset that I didn't. I quoted probably a bunch of scriptures, but she was so mad that I didn't open the Bible and like read something. So I always make sure I read something. This may have nothing to do with what I'm going to preach about, but at least we said we read the Bible tonight. So I want to start with this scripture here in Acts chapter 2. I've been given actually a specific assignment tonight to open this camp and to speak about a specific subject and stuff. So I want to just open this word tonight in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how do we hear them in our own tongue?" I want to stop there, because I am, like I said, I was given a specific assignment tonight to talk about the Holy Ghost and the encounter of the Holy Ghost. One of the things that really has been a major thing that happens here is really giving people an opportunity to, one, encounter Jesus for the first time and receive, if you've never received Jesus into your life, to give that opportunity to be able to receive Jesus into your life. And the other thing has been to give people the ability to have an encounter with the Holy Ghost that may never have had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, or if you have had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, to have another one. But one of the things I want to talk about is that when these men were in this upper room and they had this encounter with the Holy Spirit and the tongues came upon them, that there was something terrific that happened in that upper room that absolutely changed these men's life. Now, these men had walked with Jesus. Most of these had been his disciples. There were some other people there that were also, but his 12 disciples were in that room. Or his 11 disciples, I should say, were in that room. Because one of them, he didn't last. His name was Judas. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but a guy had some issues. But they were in this upper room, and they're waiting. Now, they had walked with Jesus. They had seen Jesus do all these miracles. They had heard Jesus preach his sermons. He had talked to them many times. But yet there was much of it, what he said and did, that they didn't understand what was happening at the time until they were in this upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and all of a sudden the teacher came, because the Holy Spirit is, for one, not just for speaking in tongues, but he is a teacher that leads and guides us into all truth. Now, when this happened in this upper room and they received that Holy Spirit, Peter, I said this a couple Sundays ago, in the four Gospels, not all, you know, when you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of them have different stories. some of them, you know, they're not all, they don't all tell the same story. But there's one story that every one of them tells. And it tells that on the night Jesus was breaking bread and he was giving it to his disciples, and he said, you know, how many has ever taken communion in church? They were basically doing communion. This was the first communion. Jesus said, this is my body that's broken for you. Take and eat. And he says, this cup, drink, this is my blood that's shed for you, the blood of the new covenant. And as every one of them tells the story of how Jesus says to Peter, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Every one of them tells that story. Now, I think it's because all these guys were friends, and I know my friends, and we're always going to bust on each other, or we're going to find the one time that we weren't the guy. Like, you know, like, how many's got friends where you're like, you know, you always trying to be like the man kind of, I don't know, you know, you're, but then you've always got a friend that's going to, you know, he's going to find the one time you messed up, and he's going to remind you of all the times. Like, do you remember that time you tripped over your foot and fell in that big pile of poop? You know, you got that one friend that's always bringing that up. You're going to be with this. You're going to be with, you know, like, for me, it'd be like, you know, I got a friend that, like, he's going to tell Liza every horrible story of every time I messed up, because that's just what you do as a friend. You're going to bust on your friend. And so I think the reason why that all four Gospels talk about how Peter was going to deny Jesus three times and that he denied Jesus three times is because these guys knew that Peter was going to be the rock in which Jesus was going to build his church on, but you couldn't let it go that he also had this one time where he just messed up. But so Peter messes up, but on this day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost comes, he is the one that stands up, because they're going, man, these dudes have got to be drunk. And Peter stands up on that day and says, these guys are not drunk like you suppose. And then he starts to really lay out what's happening. And he says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel in the old covenant, that in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. Your old men, they're going to dream dreams. They're going to see, your young men are going to see visions. And he was saying that this is, that's now. This is happening right now. And he begins to speak that, but he only speaks that out of the Holy Ghost. It's an incredible encounter they have in that upper room. It's going to be an incredible encounter you're going to have this week, or the opportunity at least to have that same kind of encounter. But those men did not stay in that upper room for the rest of their lives. They left that upper room, they left that atmosphere, and began to absolutely change the world and the culture they were living in, that even today it's having effects on the world. The whole purpose for the Holy Spirit in your life and in the world is to bring heaven to earth. The encounter you will have here this week, or the opportunity to encounter this Holy Spirit this week, is going to, I remember having that encounter in this place and a whole week of just my life just being absolutely just transformed and just being wrecked. Not wrecked in a bad way, but that was slang back in my day. It just absolutely just, I mean, it absolutely changed my life. I was dyslexic. I had a problem with dyslexia, and I struggled in school even. And an encounter with the Holy Spirit in this camp, like, absolutely even changed. The next year I went back to school, and all of a sudden I began to excel. And all of a sudden the words that were once jumbled and the things that were hard for me to understand all of a sudden became easy. And just, I mean, that was just one thing the Holy Spirit did that was more than just speaking in tongues. It absolutely helped me to begin to understand things that I had a struggle with at one time. Because, I absolutely thought one time whenever I had dyslexia and they told me I was dyslexic, I thought I was broken and there was something wrong with me and I wasn't normal. And all of a sudden when I had the encounter with the Holy Spirit, it absolutely changed even my self-esteem. It changed my perception of myself and changed where even I began to excel in school, so much so that I was in special classes to try to help me because I struggled so much in school because of my dyslexia. And all of a sudden, I started to excel where I took my ACTs and passed enough that I could get into college, went to college. My school sent out people to my house to ask me what they did different with me. They said people that are in the classes that you go to and the things that you struggle with, they don't go on in life. Like, they usually just go into the workforce and they don't really excel. What did we do different with you? And I said, you guys didn't do anything. It was, and I began to tell them I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit that absolutely changed me and began to change even how I was doing in school, where I began to understand things. It's funny, even like for me as a minister, to think about the struggles that I had, because dyslexia, if you don't know, words get jumbled. They get turned backwards. You see everything backwards. But it's really helped me even in how I teach the Word of God, because, you know, if you're going to teach the Word of God, you have to see things from end to beginning. And it has made me the Holy Spirit has made me an able minister of the gospel just because of this encounter that I had a week in youth camp. Absolutely changed my life and made me begin to excel, so much so that I'm married to a doctor today. That's how much, guys like me, that don't really happen too often. I'm living every girl's dream. I married a doctor. I'm like her trophy husband. She lives a very good life because of me. I'm not completely lying, though, am I? No. I take good care of her. I do the dishes. I do the cleaning. I do the laundry. I do all the housework, the outside work. I take care of the kids. Anything that's broken, I fix. She did not lose out. We both took very good care of each other. And really, you know, our, like I said before, our connection happened because of the encounters of what we had here. There was a bond that happened through that, because when you've had this, and like I said, this is the first night, so you're not quite going to grasp some of the things. Some of y'all that's been here, you probably will understand some things I'm talking about, but there are just some bonds that happen that you almost have to make the friendships in here, because nobody else that wasn't here is going to understand exactly what you're talking about what the encounter is that happens here. How much it really does change your life, how it really does affect you, how it really does set you up for success and for some of the best life on the planet. Like I said, it is to bring heaven to earth. Let me say this. I don't need those to talk. It's more of a fidget thing. There was a move of the Spirit that happened. I believe it was in 1926 or something. I probably have it in my notes. Let me just go here and look here real quick. It was in 1906. There was this move of the Holy Spirit that happened in this place called Azusa Street. One of the most well-documented, well-known just moves of the Spirit that happened for a long time, where people are just coming in and the Holy Spirit was just absolutely transforming their lives. But it was in a time before either World War I, World War II. It was before African Americans had received equal rights. It was before women had received the rights to vote and equal rights and things like that. This was before all that. But in 1906, when this move of the Spirit began to happen, the first person to ever receive, to begin to speak in tongues in the midst of this. Now, there hadn't been a real move of the Spirit like this in a long time. But the first person to speak in tongues when this was beginning to be documented was a woman. She was the first one. It was actually an African-American preacher that was preaching that God wanted to pour out his Spirit and give us the Holy Ghost, and he wanted to reinstate tongues. And this man began, well, he went to go preach this, I'm sorry for history, but this will make sense here in a minute. When he began to preach this, he had never experienced, he had never spoken tongues, he had no experience with the Holy Spirit. He began to preach this, he went to a revival to preach it. The people loved what he had to preach, but they asked him at this church, have you experienced this thing you're preaching about? And he said, no. Well, they labeled him a heretic. He went back to preach the next night. They had locked the doors on this church and would not have him speak. He was staying at a house, and some of the crowd that heard him speak the night before showed up at the house and said, we want to hear more about this Holy Spirit you're talking about. He began to preach about it, and while he's preaching, a woman began to speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit began to fall upon her. And as it began to fall upon her, it began to fall upon the crowd. She then laid hands on that African-American preacher, and he began to speak in tongues. He received it not by preaching it, but he received it because what he preached, somebody else received and was able to give it to him. Now, why this is important is, again, because during this time, there was segregation. There was not supposed to be mixing of races. Women were supposed to be seen and not heard. They weren't supposed to operate inside the church at this time. This was a very segregated, racist time to be living in. But when the Holy Ghost fell, the races began to mix. Women began to have a place. There was no segregation in this place where the Holy Ghost was falling. It was in a warehouse with sawdust floors and things like this. Was not the place you think God would show up and do something incredible, but it's exactly where he showed up. And what was so important about why this was happening amongst women, African Americans, and all these things were happening is because, again, it was during a time during segregation, racism, very much prejudice were involved, but heaven doesn't look like that. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it comes to show us what heaven looks like. And so it began to show us that heaven doesn't care if you're a woman, you're African-American, you're white, whatever you are. It's come to encounter us all and give us all a place to begin to speak and begin to proclaim exactly what heaven wants to do in the earth. I say that stuff to you today, is because as you begin to have this encounter with the Holy Spirit this week, it is for you to be, I want you to encounter it to its fullest. I want you to have all the experience you can with it. Let me say this. When you receive Jesus into your life, you receive all the Holy Spirit in that moment. Okay? There, it wasn't partial. Like there are, you know, there is an encounter where you get down there and you start speaking in tongues, things like that. But the moment you receive Jesus, you received all of it. When you begin to speak in tongues, or what we call the baptism, it's just simply the proof of what's already inside of you manifesting. But you don't, it's not like you get a second encounter, you get more of Jesus in that moment. You get all of him in the moment you receive him into your life. I say that because I want to make this as simple as possible for you this week, so that you don't feel like, is this difficult? How do I speak in tongues? Or how do I get this encounter? It's easy. You receive Jesus, you receive all of it. When you begin to speak in tongues, it's not hard. It's not like you have to have somebody pray for you, lay hands on you in a certain way, get yourself right. It's just something that's, if you desire it, he gives it. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I remember the first time I had this encounter of the Holy Spirit. I was, again, back there, and it was not like a youth camp service, but it was like a Wednesday night. My pap would always, like, sometimes just have prayer. Like, he'd call people up for prayer, and, like, sometimes we'd pray, nothing happened, and sometimes we'd go up to pray, and there'd just be something amazing would happen. And it was just a regular night, and I'm sitting, we're praying, and all of a sudden, something fell upon me, and I'm like bawling my eyes out. And I wanted to open my mouth, and all that would come out would go, that's all I could say. The Holy Spirit just washed over me, but I knew something had happened. I told my Aunt Terry about it later. I'm like, hey, something happened. I was up there, and I just felt this thing, and then all of a sudden, this is all I could do was go, blah, 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 blah. She goes, well, you should have told somebody. You could have spoken tongues tonight. And I was like, I couldn't have told anybody because all I could say was, blah, 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 blah. And for a moment, I thought, well, then I must not have got all the Holy Spirit because I didn't speak with other tongues in that moment. All I did was go, blah, 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 blah. But then later on in life, I realized, no, that was all, that was every, like, I still got it all, like, even in that moment. Now, later on, I did speak in some tongues, and I did realize how you can do that. It was easy, and it was really easy. It was just words came to my mind, and I just began to speak them out. Now, they didn't sound like words that I understood, didn't sound like something that, like, but I knew, because, see, I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit sounds like. It sounds like the voice in your head. It's really that simple. Like, you know, you hear people say, well, preachers will say, well, I heard the Lord say. I've heard the Lord say stuff too, but he's never been in a booming voice. It's been in this voice here that I feel right here. It's a difference between, you know, sometimes when I'm talking, I know what it is to talk to myself. And then I also know what it is when the Lord's speaking to me, because I hear it here, but I feel it here. It's not meant to be difficult. That is the voice. You're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, too, is it'll also show you sometimes truth. Like, there are times where I've been in, because I grew up in church. I've grown up in church my whole life, and I've been to all kinds of different things, and I've heard all kinds of different preaching. And I've heard times where somebody was preaching, and I went, that don't sound right. Like, that don't sound like the Jesus I encountered. That was the Holy Spirit. It was really the truth. I found out later in life that was really true. That wasn't the Lord speaking through some of those. But then there was times where I heard somebody speak something, and I went, that's truth. I never heard anybody say that before. But I know it's truth because I feel it right here. That's truth. That it bears witness with the Jesus I encountered, the Jesus I know. It bears witness with him. So as you're sitting here this week and you're hearing things and you're hearing the word being taught, you're having the worship service, you're going to feel, in a worship service sometimes, you'll feel it right here. God is doing something. I can feel him. I can feel his presence. You might not see him. You might not physically be able to touch him, but you'll know he's right there beside of me. Something is right here drawing me into this worship, drawing me into this encounter that I want to have with the Lord. Do not fight it. Obey it, man. Like Jason said this morning when he started tonight, you feel that presence. Don't fight. Just lean into it, man. Just get up there and experience it. Let it wash over you. The rest of this week, man, as they're worshiping, don't feel like you need to sit back here and wait for somebody else to get up. Man, come to this front. Get up here in this atmosphere. Let it wash over you. Experience all that you can this week. Just like these guys that were in this upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, they were all in one place, in one accord, and it came down upon them like fire. Man, I encourage you this week to get up here and just let that fire and that baptism of that thing just wash over you, saturate you. Just dive into it, man, because it's absolutely going to change your life. It's going to bring heaven to your earth. And when you leave this place, Friday afternoon, leave this place absolutely changed and taking something back to where you come from that's going to absolutely bring heaven to earth. I've come to a place. I used to love social media. I used to love Facebook and stuff like that. I've come to a place I absolutely hate it, and I'm hardly ever on it because it became such a toxic atmosphere. But I always loved after camp because everything I saw was from people that were here. I would always friend the kids in Bible study and different ones that came to the camp because I wanted to hear about everything that was happening to them when they went back to their homes and how God was, you know, just impacting them and doing all kinds. I want for you, again, I want to see heaven brought to earth in social media. And I think it comes to you guys that are able to change the atmosphere from toxic, let's fight, let's be negative, let's bash everybody, to bring something positive to it that makes people go, you know what, this is a good place to be again. This really is a friend's thing. Yeah. It's meant not tearing each other down, but building one another up as you go back to your churches on Friday, or when you go back to your churches next Sunday, and you're back home, and you're giving your testimonies, and you're giving your experiences of what happened, and then listening to one another as you make friends, because you're going to meet people here this week that you maybe have never known, haven't never met them, but they're going to be friends that maybe you have for a lifetime. That's the one good thing about social media, is that it can connect us in ways we couldn't before. Me and my wife had to keep connected over actual, like, mail. And not email. I mean, like, you, like, write a letter, you get a stamp, you put it in an envelope. Like, this is dinosaur stuff. And then you would put it in the mailbox, and you'd have to put the flag up on the mailbox. The mailman would come and pick that thing up. It would take, you know, about a week for it to get to them. And then they had to get paper and an envelope and stamps and write back. And so, like, 2 weeks later, you were like, yeah, camp was great. Miss you. So, yeah, I'm kind of glad for some stuff that it doesn't take, you know, 4 weeks to hear back from somebody, but we are able to keep in contact for a long time. I'm dating myself here. It's okay. But it was, but like I said, we would write those things to each other even back then. And then some of the other friends, like, you know, Clinton would never write me back. See, Clinton's that guy with the beard back there with the scowl on his face. Like, he would never write me back, you know, but he'd always tell Liza, like, you know, well, tell him I said hi, you know. I had some other friends that they would write, and then some that wouldn't. They would wait till the next year, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, I meant to write you back. But then, you know, we went on vacation, and school started, you know. Now, thanks for Facebook and stuff like that. Or Messenger, at least. You can get that instant, you know. Well, I'm already on my phone anyway, so, yeah, camp was cool. I miss you too, dude. He never wrote me mail, but now he writes me, like, sends me videos and stuff, or, hey, you got to check this out or something, you know, or he'll remind me of the band that we were in and, like, hey, you remember this video? We were in a hardcore rap group, just to give myself just a little street cred. Here's the thing. I used to be a rapper back in the day. I used to do a lot of rap. Right before, you know, then my, you know, I got older and my rap career kind of, like, you know, took a nosedive. But about right before Easter, I was down here with my .22 rifle shooting at some food, and I had a ricochet come and hit me in my finger and went straight through my finger. So now I have a gunshot wound, so now I can resurrect my rap career, because I got street cred now. Like 50 Cent, I have been shot. So, yeah, beat that. No other speaker probably this week will be able to say they've had a gunshot wound. But yeah, I got shot. Jason shot me. My brother Jason shot me with an arrow right here. I've been shot twice, man. Like, I've got street cred faux show. And Jason's defense, you know, him having shot me with an arrow, we did try to hang him from a tree until my Uncle Andy stopped us. We did have him. You have to understand, we're in the country, you know, like, we're sometimes we're a little, you know, things happen. There's just some weird things happen here in the country. But I just, like I said, just to open this up, and I just wanted to bring some humor tonight, and I just wanted to bring just a little small opening to this. I know we've been traveling, most of us are tired, but I wanted to just give this little introduction to the Holy Spirit, those that are in my Bible study group, we will probably get way better with this. We'll have some good stuff. See, here's my thing. Okay, you want to hear just for me. I love movies and I love TV shows. And I especially love movies that have great dialogue in them. And so one of the reasons why I always love Bible study groups is because I love dialogue and questions, and I love us discussing stuff. And we've always had fun. I think you were in my Bible study group one time. We always have a blast in there because it's just like we get to talk and just open up the word and like not be afraid to ask questions, not be afraid to talk about it, and get really good dialogue going about Jesus. I love that stuff. I love talking about Jesus. I love the encounter of the Holy Spirit that happens here this week because it absolutely is the thing that will set you on a path that will just absolutely set you up for success. It's the thing that will bring you success in life because it will help you. It leads and guides you into all truth. It testifies of Jesus. It encourages you. It's there to convince you of your righteousness, of your identity in Christ, that you're perfect in Christ. That's the things the Holy Spirit does. It can, we were talking, one of the guys, Chuck, that goes to the church here, he's like, it helps him in his job. He does like electrical work. And he says, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak in my ear and I don't know how to run this electrical line. And it'll come right out in the right spot because I was listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for church stuff. It's for every aspect of your life. It's meant to be practical. It helps. My wife will talk, and she says, when she goes to help a patient, she'll come sometimes go, man, I don't know. I've never seen that before. And she'll say, Holy Spirit, help me here. And she says, she'll no sooner get back to her office and the answer will come. Boom, that's what it is. It helps in every aspect of life. It's not just to be a church thing. It is for success. It's to bring heaven to earth and to change your life and the people's lives around you. So this week, as things are happening, don't fight it. Don't wait till the last night. Don't wait. Man, embrace it full on from the get-go because it is absolutely the thing that will just bring you a whole new life. Amen? I'm just going to start, you know, I've said everything I need to say. But if you want to encounter, I want to give, you know, it's the first night, I know. But I want to give opportunity tonight, just in case you want to have it just the first night, just encounter it the first night. But we're going to, if I could get Jason to come up or Beth or whoever and just give us a little atmosphere, a little worship. I want to just give again some opportunity tonight. If you would like to experience this, if you would like just to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, if you'd like to just come up here and just pray or whatever and just let the Lord, if you've never received Jesus into your life, it's simple. You just say, Lord, I'd like you to come into my life. Jesus, will you come into my life? It's that simple. It doesn't have to be any kind. The thing, what I love about Jesus and what I love about him is that it is personal to you. There is no formula for this. There is no wrong or right way to do this. It is easy. He wants to encounter you. You know, we always think, I used to be told that, you know, when you get saved, God changes you and you have to be something you didn't want to be. That's not true. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. He made you who you are. So he doesn't want to change you. He wants to use you. He wants to come and be with you. He wants to move into your life. He wants to use you with your, I love humor and stuff like that. Like God uses that. Daniel, you're going to see Daniel the balloon guy this week. He does a lot of magic. God has absolutely used him, his personality and the things he does. God uses you just the way you are. It is not about changing you. It's not about making you into something completely different. It's about God just moving into your life, taking up his residence, his abode inside of you, and using all your giftings, all your talents, using your personality to bring heaven to earth. If you would like to receive Jesus, it's simple. We'll lay hands on you. We can pray for you. Or you can do it right there in your seat and say, Lord, Jesus, just come into my life tonight. And again, once you do that, all of that Holy Spirit, all of who Christ is, he comes and lives inside of you. You get all of him and all his benefits. All his goodness comes in that. If you would like to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you would like to speak in tongues or stuff, we would like to lay hands on you tonight and help you receive that. So these altars are open. If you would like to come up, we'll pray for you, whatever. Jason, just go ahead.
You're more real than the wind in my lungs.
Everybody just stand a minute.